I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Jesus.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today.
Nothing makes this sweeter. I can't believe it. I almost died twice. RJ, you muted yourself, dillhole. RJ, you muted yourself. Dude, I oh my God. Oh my fucking God. I'm crying.
I can't believe what just fucking happened.
Nothing.
Hold on. My mic unplugged. I flipped out so much my mic broke.
No, I can hear you.
My headset broke. I can't hear a thing. You carry the show.
The only thing sweeter than us making it to the playoffs is us knocking off those bitch ass fucking Chargers.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? I hate the Chargers. I hate them so much because here in Long Beach, before the Chargers moved to LA, everybody wanted to be a fucking Charger fan. Couldn't name three people on the goddamn team. All right? I hate the fucking Chargers. And all the freaking people that I know that have been Charger fans for a long time is because they're fucking pussies and they're too afraid to be Raider fans. That's the reason why. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Carlson will bomb on you. Dude, fucking Derek Carr, number four, gonna make sure all your playoff dreams don't grow. Fucking bitch-ass Chargers.
I can't believe what I just saw. I don't believe with my two eyes what I just saw.
I'm angry right now. I'm angry at all those punk-ass Charger fans. I'm fucking angry. That's what you get.
We could have easily taken a knee after Josh Jacobs got that final first down in the last drive of overtime, taken a knee and kicked out the Steelers and let in the Chargers. But Rich Bisaccia, in all of his wisdom, said, no, we'd rather let Big Ben get one more shot in the playoffs and kick out those bitch-ass Chargers and keep them from going to the postseason, as opposed to letting the Steelers go. That's God shit. That is swinging the sword of justice from a sideline where you get to pick and choose on your whim which fan base gets to watch their team go play in the playoffs. And I guess probably what happened was Roger Goodell went into Rich Bisaccia's headset and said, hey, I got a prize for you. Make sure you don't go for a tie to make sure Pittsburgh goes to the playoffs, because at least Pittsburgh has fans. The Chargers don't have fans. So, like, why would we send a team
to
the playoffs when they don't have a fan base that could buy tickets or watch the game? So,
Chargers,
like, all right, let's make sure the Steelers go.
Chargers, you have vacation plans. That's what you got. I hope. Where you at, Charger fans? Jumping on here last time we played, talking all that shit. Where you at now, little bitches?
You know why they talk shit on Raiders shows? Because there are no Chargers shows. Because there's not enough fans to facilitate a Charger show. Like, all seven Charger fans have to come onto our post shows and talk trash.
There's a Chargers fucking show. It's called Hoarders. All that trash you see everywhere, that's the fucking Chargers.
All right, guys, make sure like, comment, subscribe. This is now officially a Las Vegas Raiders playoff show. We got Cincinnati on Saturday. I got to figure out how to get out of work on Saturday to watch this game. I'm supposed to work a UFC event. I have
three chicks fighting on Saturday.
Can I get COVID between now and then and force me to quarantine? Maybe I can do that. I got to find a way to get COVID between now and Saturday so I can watch this game from home.
Bro, listen to this shit. Work. I got three chicks fighting at an event in San Diego on Saturday. I'm going to go all fucking all raided out.
No, you don't. You're not going.
Fuck that shit. I ain't going.
So the Raiders, get revenge on the Chargers to get into the playoffs. We're going to get revenge on the Bengals on Saturday to stay in the playoffs. Raiders now 10-7. 10-win team, playoff team, winning record. Like we talked about in the pregame show, all the shit that we've been through as a team, all the shit that's happened during this season.
Chip on our shoulder.
The front office, half of them getting fired or quit. John Gruden getting bounced because of emails he sent 10 years ago. Henry Ruggs being an absolute idiot. Darren Waller out for almost a month and a half. Our first round cornerback threatening to kill somebody on social media. Our number one receiver gone. Our number one receiving back injured. Our number one guard out for the whole season.
Number one,
Waller,
and number,
five games. Number one and number
both
two.
Both starting guards. Both
Darren
starting
Waller guards. Out for five games. None of that can stop us. And like I said on the pregame show, if we don't come out and win tonight, get to 10 wins, go to the postseason and do some damage. Today we celebrate, but I want to do some damage in the postseason. If we don't do that, then that whole storyline about all the things the Raiders had to go through, everyone forgets about it. It's lost to the depths and darkness of history. Unless you win this, unless you go to the playoffs, unless you beat the Chargers and get into the postseason, then it's part of the story. Then the history books will write the 2021-22 Raiders were the most cursed, unlucky, destroyed franchise in every facet of football, from the front office to the coaching staff to the roster. They overcame every one of them and put together the best season in half a decade and one of the best seasons in two decades. That's what this Raider team pulled off this season. And I don't want anyone for a second to undercut what they went through and what they had to overcome.
Yeah. The thing that I said it in the beginning of the year when Gruden quit or whatever, he got forced to quit or whatever the hell you want to say. Mm-hmm. All right. I said, wouldn't it be just like poetic? Right? Wouldn't it be poetic if we made it in as a wild card and shoved it right up fucking Goodell's ass? Because in 84, yep, that was that whole freaking Roselle thing, and just mm-hmm. you know, is he gonna tell the players to beat up Roselle? Is he gonna just say just win, baby? What are you gonna say, bro? I'm telling you right now, it's written. It's already been written. This shit's already been written. All right. Fucking 10 years, 15 years from now, they're going to make freaking 30 for 30s about this team, about all that. Everyone's going to be old and shit, all freaking arthritic and beat up in their rocking chairs. Like, dang, man, I remember playing in those games, and I remember that game against the freaking bitch-ass Chargers. And then we went, and we fucking beat the Bungles, and then we beat the Queefs, and then we beat somebody else.
This season
It's already written.
This season has, like, 7 30 for 30s alone. Like, you could do, like, there's a whole library of 30 for 30s you can do on this season. Not just the season. Ruggs, everything that happened with Gruden, Carl Nassib coming out of the closet, whatever's going to happen from the front office falling apart. All these things. Like Derek Carr getting his redemption. First time, finally, you know, if Derek Carr goes off and you know, maybe this season, maybe another season, whatever, wins the Super Bowl or doesn't, like, this is going to be that epic tale for every member of this team, all 53 guys on the roster, every member of the coaching staff, front office, ownership, the future of Bisaccia now is looking bright. The future of Derek Carr's never looked better. Destiny has completely altered for 100 people. And I'm not being overly dramatic. I'm not. Overcoming all these things and how close this team was on the tipping point. Does Gus Bradley get fired? Does Mike Mayock get fired? Does Derek Carr get traded? Does Rich Bisaccia stay? All these guys on the roster that are tweeners, did Josh Jacobs earn an extension today?
Might have.
Did Darren Waller just earn an extra $10 million on his contract today? Did Hunter Renfro make
him? Foster Moreau earned a little something today.
There are so many people. How about this? Rich Bisaccia, coach of the year. How many coaches had to overcome this? First interim coach, first time a coach that changed that took over a team halfway through a season, making it to the playoffs, first time in 60 years. And Rich Bisaccia took a squad without their number one receiver, without their number one receiving back. Half the games he coached, they didn't have Darren Waller. Front office in shambles. And he took them to the playoffs. That was something special. Fuck the Chargers. Nice right time out.
Hell Staley. Yeah, Rob. Oh,
that's how you want to rock it. But, yeah, what was Staley doing calling that timeout?
Dude, you know overtime? What? That screwed him because you
what
know
are you
what?
Doing?
If he would have just shut the hell up and let them run the ball, they weren't even going to try the field goal, bro. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Because all he wanted to do was get to the playoffs.
Oh, why risk a blocked field goal? Why risk a muff punt? Like, just get into the playoffs and we'll play the Chiefs. No big deal. Nope. Dude, you call a timeout. Sorry.
Staley doesn't understand how thick Dick Carlson is. He doesn't understand that Carlson don't miss. In these type of situations, he don't miss. If it's a second quarter or whatever, a freaking extra point or a short field goal, yeah, he'll beef it because he doesn't care. But in money time, Carlson's got that cash, bro. Carlson cashed in. This is why we cashed him in. For play like this.
I love how Staley was the like the media darling for so long, because when John Gruden got, you know, canned or left or whatever verbiage you want to use, and Staley got on the mic and just did this like holier than thou. Oh my God, this is just so inappropriate. I can't believe someone would do that. And the media was just gargling his balls because he said all this stuff the media loved. I was like, all right, watch. Staley just bought himself one shitty season of goodwill with the media because he just said everything they wanted. He's not good. Think of it this way. The Raiders are less talented at almost every position. We talked about in the pregame show. Other than like special teams and like linebacker, they're more talented at every position. Every single position. And the Raiders still won. I say it was because of the team unity that we had. But you got to admit too, Staley got outcoached. It's not often we can say that our squad outcoached another squad. Our coaching staff outcoached another coaching staff. We did that tonight. We outcoached them. There were some brilliantly designed plays. Staley made some errors going for that on with a 4th and 8 on their 18. That cost him big. Huge. Absolutely huge. Icarus 801. Let's go, Raiders. Disrespectful Chargers. Yeah, that's what they get. Now they can be disrespectful on vacation. I hope they have fun in Mexico watching the playoffs while the Raiders are playing. Hope they have a good
I'm texting my friend right now who could have been a Raider fan with me for like 10 years before he met some other guy that he became a Charger fan for.
Yep. Hunter Renfro, couple big spots here. Hunter Renfro has the most receptions by a Raiders receiver today, all time. Passed up Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, still behind Waller on total receptions before receiver. Derek Carr has the most passing yards in a season in Raiders history. Passed up Rich Gannon. Two pretty big milestones. I know it's all right, 17-game season, and it counts, but, you know, it doesn't count as much, blah, blah, blah. But really, really big.
No, it's big. It is what it is, man. You play the season, that's what you play what you get. I'm not going to asterisk whatever. They want to give TJ Watt an asterisk for his freaking shit too. Like, dude, he played like he missed like 3 games.
Yeah.
Big deal. It is what it is. It's the season. It's not like you were playing 10 games and now they're playing 20 or anything like that. Just one more game. Just let it go.
Joey Bosa came in talking trash, right? And you thought, "Oh, last time when he talked trash about Derek Carr, I think it got to him a little bit." He was kept pretty quiet. He had a big moment. He had a strip sack that Brandon Parker was able to recover. I was really worried. Like, my biggest fear of this game was Joey Bosa versus Brandon Parker. I'm like, all right,
they did everything they could on him.
They did everything.
They chipped him with the back. They helped out with the tight end. They did both. They did everything.
You know what is even more one-sided, though? Max Crosby eating number 74 alive. I was worried about Bosa Parker. It was Max Crosby. 2 sacks, double-digit pressures, I'm sure, multiple quarterback hurries. I mean, it was vintage Max Crosby. Other than him getting sacks, it was vintage Max Crosby because he was just disrupting all the time. That touchdown, not the final one, but the second to last touchdown that the Chargers got in the fourth quarter, and they were getting all that pressure with 4 down linemen. Mm-hmm. Gus Bradley goes 3 down linemen. Justin Herbert has all day, throws a touchdown. I'm like, what are they doing? Just leave Max out there. Just bombarding. Just giant broadsword, just ripping tackles apart.
I love I love how they started putting him at defensive tackle, so they couldn't chip him and they couldn't do that stuff. Like, he was one-on-one with guards. Dude, yep. Max Crosby, he had 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 3 passes defensed, and 4 quarterback hits.
All over the place.
That's
where's Bosa strong. At now? Ryan Waters asks. Roses to Max tonight. God, what a beautiful, beautiful man Max Crosby is. What a blessing he's been. I thought Yannick Ngakoue was going to be like, you know, who's obviously our big sign, and he's been fine this season, right? But Max Crosby, he has just been a disruptive force everywhere. Just embarrassing. If you're a mediocre right tackle, he is going to make you look a fool. He's going to embarrass.
Yeah, you have to pack a lunch.
Yeah.
You got to pack a lunch going against Max, dude. You definitely have to. And you have to play well. You can't just go out there and play. You got to play hard and play well. Dude, Jacobs. Yeah. Jacobs, freaking 26 carries, 132 yards.
He started slow. 5 yards a carry.
Jesus Christ.
He started slow. He had like 11 carries for like 25 yards or something to start. And it was like, all right, I thought, you know, we got to run the ball down these guys' throat. The Chargers have a terrible run defense. It's what we're going to do. But he came on strong. That Chargers defense just started slowing down, getting tired, playing the pass rush, playing Derek Carr. Jacobs took over. 5.1 yards per carry.
When we needed him the most, he played his best. And that's what you need towards the end of the season, end of games.
And the line was not blocking well for him. He was like, no. I was wondering, why is he so passive at the line of scrimmage? It's because he's dodging 3 tackles. Because he's like, because there's no hole. He's like, he's playing reverse whack-a-mole. He's like, there's no hole here. You just make something up. There were multiple, it's very Walter Payton-y. There were multiple situations where it's like, all right, that's going to be a loss of one. Oh, he fought to get +4. Like, all right, he's going to be stopped at the line of scrimmage. Oh, man, he fought to get 3 more yards. There was so many plays like that. So many runs where he was just turning something into nothing. And then he had some big runs too. Multiple 10-yarders, first downs. How about Casey? Mr. Almost always getting interceptions. He finally got an interception. He's had so many interceptions bounce off his fingers or just be so close, or Trevon Moore's going to knock it out of his hands. Finally got his pick.
Dude, man, it's crazy how now these Raiders are going to be looked at differently now. They're going to be looked as a team who can make shit happen. I know my internet's pretty wacky right now because I think I knocked my shit over when I was running around my apartment.
I understand. You had to put your dick away eventually.
Dude, it was like a Godzilla's tail just knocking everything over.
Yeah, little army men. Come on.
Bro, they were still knocking
over.
It just, Patrick Claiborne said, he said, Daniel Carson doesn't care about our feelings. He was put on earth to do one thing.
To hurt Chargers.
Look, the narrative of this team is different now. It's completely different. The narrative of this team, the narrative of this season is completely different. No one's going to focus on the off-the-field stuff and what happened to this team. They're going to focus on what this team was able to accomplish. That's the big thing. That's how you switch in the entire organization. That's how you switch the culture of an organization is you go out there and you perform. We went out there and performed. No one was going to care about anything that we went through this year if you don't win the game. We went out there. It was ugly at times. It was beautiful at times, but we still won the game. We're in the playoffs. We've been in the playoffs for a month already. We just had to keep winning. Just keep winning the next one. Just keep going.
Was that 4 in a row? I think we were underdogs in 4 straight games, 4-game win streak, longest win streak in the AFC. We're taking all that momentum into Cincinnati on Saturday. Rob Rader, love what I saw from Quentin Jefferson. He looked dominant. Crosby is a beast. Hope Filan is okay. Absolutely. I would love to see him back next year. Yeah.
I think
it didn't look bad.
I knew exactly what to look for because I know what leg he was grabbing. When he went to jump, you could see his knee like pop out.
It twisted. It could be a sprain.
It popped straight out. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I'll rewatch it.
They're gonna put him on the cart. Did you see his face? Yeah. I don't know, man. Dude, I think that was.
Hey, you could be right.
I was there.
You could totally be right.
I was there when you got your knee kicked during sparring, and it jacked up your knee pretty bad. But you were able to limp off the mat. Phylon wasn't moving on that leg.
I'm also not 320 pounds.
Like, you're getting there,
that knee, right? Not for lack of trying. Yeah, defensive line. Again, standard issue, Gus Bradley defense. Defensive line has to ball out. Got to get pressure on the quarterback. Got to be disruptive in the backfield. Got to make running backs change their patterns, because everyone else is just playing soft. Everyone else is playing, keep everything in front of you. Don't let big plays happen. And that's more or less what happened today. I mean, other than those last like fourth quarter drives, like just multiple fourth and longs that they were getting, like that's basically what we played, right? Just good pressure with the D linemen. Keep everything in front of you. But look, in all fairness, Justin Herbert and that offense, look, Mike Williams, no joke. Austin Eckler, no joke. They're running a good offense. And they still scored 32 points, but we scored 35.
You only have to say one name, and that's fucking Justin Herbert. That kid is the fucking truth. That kid is going to win a lot of football games in his career, barring injury, God forbid. That kid is just—he's special. He looked shook. I told you in the beginning of the game when the Raiders ran out on the field and everything. I'm like, Justin Herbert looks shook. Like, he looks like this game's kind of big for him.
He grew up a lot this season, and not just because his acne cleared up.
In this game, like, he grew up because they were not playing well in the first half, and they kind of lucked into a couple of plays and this and that. Like, oh, they didn't look very good. And then we had that 15 point lead. It was like 4 minutes left, dude. What was he like? What'd you say? 6 for 7 on fourth down?
6 for 7 on fourth downs for like over 100 yards and a touchdown.
He's the kid's the truth, man. What do you want to do? And guess what?
And running for his life most of the time. Half those pockets, he was almost going down. He's like Derek Carr and Herbert both had to like run for their life in those pockets today.
And guess what? We're playing another one next week. Like, in Jackpot Joey is the same thing. And so, these kids now there's no more gimme games anymore. There's no more multiple turnover games and you're going to be fine. None of that stuff. We can't do that anymore. This is the playoffs now. We got to play clean.
So a couple of things the Raiders did that we were talking about on the pregame show that they needed to do. We just needed guys to step up and fill gaps, right? Josh Jacobs did that. Max Crosby did that. We made little errors here and there. The right guy stepped up and played team football. Not one player had to just carry this whole team, right? Carr didn't have to throw for 400 yards. Josh Jacobs didn't have to have 3 touchdowns. Our defense didn't have to have 9 turnovers, right? Max Crosby didn't have to have 7 sacks. It was just everyone kind of filling in those gaps. And the best example of good quality team football that the Raiders haven't been doing that they did do today is told in 3 stats. Penalties. The Chargers had 10 for 108 yards. Raiders had 4 for 38. Brilliant. Awesome. Turnovers. We got 2. We had 2 takeaways from the Chargers. We didn't turn the ball over once.
Not one time.
In 5 quarters of football. And also, red zone. We were 3 for 5 on touchdowns. Normally, we've been under 50%. 3 for 5. An improvement there. Those are the 3 things that show good quality football that the Raiders haven't been doing consistently, that we showed when it mattered the most. And this isn't just fluky. These are all aspects that have been trending in the right direction. The team play of the Raiders have been trending in the right direction. Starting to get some turnovers here and there. Josh Jacobs is starting to find his stroke again. Like, offensive line is not so much the run blocking today, but essentially these are all elements that have gotten better as the season wore on. And the O-line one makes sense because it's all young guys that haven't played together before. They've played 17 games together now. And even though, like, we lost a lot of guys, before
the season started,
right out of the game, we've been basically more or less injury-free since then. So you've got 5 guys that are starting to build as a pretty cohesive unit.
Yeah, man. You want to hear something crazy? We had 172 passing yards and 174 rushing yards today. You would think, Derek Carr threw for 186 minus his sack yard, but whatever. He threw for 186 yards, and it seemed like he threw for a lot more.
Herbert threw the ball 64 times.
And they needed to. What did I say in the beginning of the game? If you make him one-dimensional, if you make him – if you take the run game away from the Chargers, even though he's that special, they're a lot easier to handle. They're a lot easier to handle. And we went up those 2 scores. We went up those 15 points. they made him one-dimensional, and they couldn't use Eckler. You know, that's like saying for us, you could throw to Renfro, but you can't throw on in routes. You can only throw, like, you're taking away a big part of his game. Like, when you take away Eckler's running, you take away a big part of their offense. Now, Herbert is special enough to be able to hurt you, but he's a lot easier to handle when you make him one-dimensional as an offense.
And that's what this defense has done on this win streak, is we've taken away one thing, right? Against the Colts, we're like, all right, we're going to take away the run game. Good luck beating us, Carson Wentz, right? We've taken away one aspect and forced them to beat us. We've made teams one-dimensional. And that's what we did today. Now, still, they scored 32 points because it's Justin Herbert, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. It's, you know, it's a really talented bunch. Like, I'll admit it, right? More talented than us, but they just didn't get the win. But that's what we've been able to do, right? We take away one thing and force you to beat us with the other thing. And they have, in four straight games, no team's been able to do it. We've played some good some good run games, some good passing games.
We were able to do the difference of this game, even though we weren't as talented, if people want to say that we weren't as talented, okay. We were still able to do what we wanted to in this game, and we didn't let them do what they wanted to do. They wanted to stay. They didn't want to throw the ball 65 times. If you have a young quarterback like that, you don't want to drop back 65 times when you have Ngakoue and Max Crosby coming off the edges. You don't want that. You want to be able to be balanced as a football team. And we knew we had to run the football against these guys, and we did. And when I talked about ramping up and how we were looking worse as the season was going on, it's that speech, man, that speech that we heard about earlier today. You know, we got four games left. Our playoff starts now. We're already in the playoffs. We have to win out. Grab onto the rope or let it go completely. We don't want your hand on the rope if you're not going to pull. If you're going to pull with us on the same side, grab that rope. If not, let it go and be done with it. And they're still pulling, man. They're still pulling, and they got the chip on their shoulder, all that nobody cares stuff, and nobody cares. Nobody does care, because guess what? It doesn't matter anymore. None of that stuff matters because we're in the playoffs.
How about this for our receiving core? On a day when Hunter Renfro was going to break the record for most receptions by a receiver, he's finally getting the love and attention from the national media that he deserves. With Darren Waller returning after being gone for five games, we're like, all right, like Hunter's getting his roses. Waller's back. We're gonna go nuts. The leading receivers: Bryan Edwards, Foster Moreau, and Zay Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our leading receivers. You can tell Darren Waller and Derek Carr were out of sync, right? They haven't thrown passes to each other in a month and a half. They were bracketing Hunter Renfro and then making sure to look after him. He still got two touchdowns. It wasn't a bad game by Renfro by any means, but just, again, Waller wasn't there, not sinking, right? A lot of ring rust. Hunter Renfro getting covered. You guys step up. Bryan Edwards finally showed up with some really clutch catches, a 30-yard catch. That was really, really big on five receptions. Foster Moreau with a massive reception in the very first drive. He fumbled it. Luckily, it bounced the way that it did. And Zay Jones, he's been the guy that's been like, what are we doing with him? Why is he out there? Why are we designing plays for him? Came up clutch when we needed to. I mean, that's what I've been talking about team football. Guys filling in when the stars are out of sync or game plans aren't working. The depth of this team and the resiliency of this team is why we're sitting at 10-7 and going to play Cincy on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to have this narrative pushed anymore. Like, whoa, look who Derek Carr has to throw to. He's got weapons, guys. They may not be household names, and they may not have eye-popping stats, but these guys can make plays. And interestingly enough, on the post game interview on the field, Derek Carr said it himself that the Chargers calling a timeout late in OT definitely changed our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to run the ball. That was like a timeout. You know what? We're gonna go into the playoffs. Let's just run the timeout. They want to be cute and they want to call a timeout. Okay, fine. Now we're gonna fuck you. You're
what
done.
What was Staley thinking? Like, what was his mindset?
Staley didn't walk it. Look, if Staley would have stopped them, even if they would have kicked the field goal, they would have had like 25-ish seconds left on the clock with like one timeout. Okay. That's what he was thinking. Even if they do kick a field goal, a long field goal, we're still going to have enough time to throw the ball down the fieldish and then have a chance to tie it. That's what he's thinking, because he knows that, but he was banking on that we were going to try to kick a field goal regardless. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like we weren't. And that first down run by Jacobs, he gained maybe about 15, 16 yards on that last run. It was freaking clutch, man. It was clutch. And that put us where we need to go. Right in there, we ran the clock down to what, the 2 seconds, and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was the ball game, man. But yeah, that timeout changed everything. It's almost like it seemed like, and I hated, and I would have hated this if this happened, if we kind of looked over and be like, all right, we're both in. Let's just freaking play, you know, let's just kick punt Mulligan and try it again next
I would
week.
Have no problem with it. Zero issues.
I would.
Whatsoever. None.
It's a mindset no thing, whatsoever. Man. It's a mindset thing. You need to – this put us in a better mindset moving forward is that we want to get into
this
the
is,
game.
This
we didn't
is the,
back in.
This is the better result, no doubt about it. And earning a tie – like let's call a spade a spade. Like earning a tie against the Chargers is an accomplishment-ish. Beating them's way better, right? But when you're playing to get into the playoffs, you'd make those calculated moves. You take knees, you do punts, you like these are all calculated. Like you rest guys when you're already in and the game doesn't matter. Like these are all calculated moves that smart teams do, right? Great coaches do this all the time, right? What do you think Belichick would have done in that situation? He probably would have taken a knee. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nick Saban would have taken a knee in those situations, right? These are all guys that are just like, just get to the show. Let's just do it, right? And again, love this result more, right? And everything you said was true, right? This Raiders team's jacked. I hope they're just not exhausted from this, right? I'm exhausted from this. I feel like I'm going to wake up tomorrow with a hangover. I didn't even drink today. Seriously, like that was the most nerve-wracking. I lost probably 7 pounds. Just nervous energy and sweating in my lazy boy watching this game. I can't imagine how Max Crosby feels right now.
Dude, my heart was pounding out of my chest. I didn't think I was going to make it. I was texting you guys so fast. It's like every time I text you guys, I had to delete it all because nothing made sense. It was like just misspelled words and all kinds of crap. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put my phone down, turn it upside down, put it down. And I was just pacing back and forth, rubbing a freaking hole in my carpet.
Speaking of rubbing, how hard is Ben Roethlisberger just violently masturbating right now to that final kickoff? He's like looking into Daniel Carlson's baby blues and just like, oh, thank you, kicker. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was beautiful. Thanks for letting me get back in the playoffs. Thank you so much.
Good, man. Good. I don't care. I'm not even thinking about that. I can give a shit. All I care about is getting that one back from the Bengals, man. That's it. Getting that one back from the Bengals. We were within striking distance and we threw a pick six, then fumbled and they scored. They made it look ugly late. It really wasn't that. It was a lot closer than that score looked. They turned two late turnovers into touchdowns within like, honestly, like 2 minutes. So
I'd much rather have the Steelers in the playoffs than the Chargers. If they like, you know, it by a miracle, we end up playing the Steelers, you know,
I'd much rather freaking play the Bengals than the freaking Chiefs. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah, dude, if I had to pick any team to play, like any of the four division winners, it would have been either Bills or Bengals for sure. I do want to stay the hell away from the Patriots.
We're the fifth seed.
Yeah.
We're the five.
The number one wild card team.
We just. Yeah, we didn't squeak into the freaking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ryan, if you would have passed some of those diamonds, I would have freaking put some earrings. I would have made some earrings out of those motherfuckers.
It's like, oh, are those blood diamonds? No, those are butthole diamonds. Even more rare.
These are sphincter diamonds. Don't even trip.
They were made organically with the pressure that Raiders fans have to go to. Seriously, like this fan base, best fucking fan base in sports. The shit that this franchise has put us through the last 20 years. And that's even saying like last 20 years, like 20 years as we won the Super Bowl. We had one of the most heartbreaking Super Bowl losses last 20 years ago. Rich Man. Gannon threw 5 interceptions that entire season, threw 5 interceptions in the Super Bowl, right? Like that was a kick in the dick that I still feel to this. I still have I'm half an octave higher in voice from the kick in the dick that Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl in San Diego gave me.
Dude, if I ever see Joe Bugle, I'm fucking ripping a ball off. Mm-hmm. He fucking tanked that game, dude. He fucking tanked that game.
There's so often you hear people like kiss the ass of fan bases. Oh, the Steelers have such a great fan base. The Patriots, such a great fan base. No, you've got fair weather fans on winning franchises. It's so easy to show up when your team wins the division every year and you're going to the playoffs. They're like, oh, yeah, I root for them all the time. Yeah, because they win, you know, 3/4 of their games. How about these Raider fans that have stuck around for decades just for these moments and sitting through like the 2 decades of being a Raider fan and the stress you've gone through, the stress of this season that we've gone through, and to cap it all off, the stress of that game.
Look, man, here's our moment to shine, guys, because whenever someone thinks of a Raider fan oh, you're a criminal. Oh, you're an asshole. Oh, you're this. Oh, that's what people think about us. That's who people think we are. Just because we look a certain way and we're passionate about our team, that's what people think about us. Mm. But, and you know what I really hate, especially when like people, teams like New England or Pittsburgh and shit like that. Oh, this franchise, they play the game the right way. Like we're playing it the wrong way. Like what's, I don't understand that. Maybe it's this whole narrative that they're so holier than thou and they do everything right. No, it's not. It's not the case. This team was a freaking dumpster fire before they got Ben Roethlisberger. And you know, another person I'm gonna freaking bitch slap when I see him is freaking Chris Collinsworth. He was just gargling freaking Herbert the entire game. Didn't say anything about freaking Carr. Everything. Dude, freaking, they were trying to jinx Carlson. He's never missed in the stadium. He's never missed in the stadium. Yeah. Al Michaels. But, dude, the whole – and you said it before yourself. Everybody's trying to freaking talk. We're winning the game by 15 points, and they're still doing little cutaways of the Chargers. There's no cutaways of the Raiders. There's no mention, if not in the first quarter, of John Madden and how this would be great for the Raiders and all this stuff. Towards the very end of the game, after they won, they started talking about, oh, now they're the freaking darlings. You know what? Fuck you. We don't need your freaking sympathy. We don't need any of that stuff. You want to jump on it because it's a good story, but Collinsworth, suck my dick.
I just imagine Roger Goodell being so pissed right now. It's like, oh, man, these Raiders are in that giant SoFi stadium. We're trying to get them a fan base. No one gives a shit about them. They're in L.A. where no one cares about them even less. These Raiders are such a pain in my ass. They never just get in line and do what I say. Bam. Fifth seed. Playoffs. In your face, clown.
I'm telling you, we're going to do it. You know what? I hope Mark Davis freaking calls that green light on freaking Goodell. He freaking cashes in that green light. That's what I want. When we hold up that freaking Lombardi trophy, hey, football hating pussy, and everyone just jumps on freaking Goodell and just kicks the shit out of him. Literally kicks him until he shits himself. That'd be so sweet.
That's medically possible. We've seen it. Kick somebody until poop actually comes out of them. I can't think of a better guy to have that happen to. Although I got to imagine Roger Goodell's probably got the tightest sphincter of any American in Western civilization. He just looks like he's just constantly clenching his butt.
What are you talking about? He can do whatever the hell he wants. He does whatever he wants. He changes rules whenever he wants. He does whatever he wants.
I'm going to choke just trying to be Roger Goodell.
You just got off the COVID. Watch out.
Oh, man. Raiders 35, Chargers 32. We'll go over the good, the bad, and the ugly this week. We'll go over the many errors the Raiders had, although giving up all those fourth and longs. Trust me, there'll be plenty of time to go over all the errors that the Raiders had. Today is a celebration.
Not tonight.
Tonight's about getting that crystal, making it rain, spraying it on your chick, spraying it in the air. That's what tonight's about.
My brother got me a bottle of hand serial numbered mezcal, and he got me like mezcal shot glasses with that the freaking mezcal ground up worm salt. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm gonna freaking drink that shit tonight. I'm gonna see the future. Watch.
I still can't get over that game. I mean, we talked about like turning the narrative of the Raiders and how this team is viewed, how Rich Bisaccia is viewed, how Derek Carr is viewed, how everyone on this team is viewed. And there's been guys that have finally been getting the roses this season. Max Crosby long since earned it. Hunter Renfrow obviously came up huge this season. You know, three Pro Bowlers, which has been amazing. But the fact that it was such an incredible game, I mean, it was essentially a playoff game, right? By almost every metric other than actually being in the playoffs. And who's got a deeper, more controversial or longer list of very poignant and prominent playoff games in the Raiders. Like there's not many teams, right? Like they've got crazy games under their wing. And this is right up there, right? Primetime game. I'm going through Twitter. I'm looking at like people that never watch football, like people I follow for MMA or people I follow for news. Like it's like a Brazilian journalist was tweeting about it, right? Like all these like guys I follow for MMA stuff are tweeting about it. Like it got the country's attention. 100% of Pittsburgh was watching, that's for sure. And it got the country's attention on the brightest stage, on the biggest stage with the brightest lights, with the most stakes they've shown. And that's something that's about turning and getting respect for this franchise moving forward. Like, I don't care if we have it or not. I've been living with the Raiders not having respect for 20 seasons. I don't care if we have it or not. But the fact that that narrative is still changing with games like this. This is an all-time game. Like when the NFL films is like top 100 whatevers, this is going to be like seven of those lists.
Dude, this is a top fucking top 10 game, regular season game of all time because of what was at stake, because of what happened, because Justin Herbert going absolutely apeshit on fourth down, because of just us, our undying will to win. And it's like, it's so shitty being a Raider fan because you can't even like enjoy them winning. Because as soon as you enjoy them winning, it was like, ah, Raider fans, you win one game and then you start getting all stupid. It's like, dude, that's what every freaking team does. When every freaking fan from another team, when they win, they post stuff and they jump up and down and they're happy. Well, we can't do that. Why? Because we're the Raiders and you don't like us?
We got four of us. Overtime. Like, those are the games you lose your mind over. 4-0 in overtime. 4-0 in overtime. The whole country was going nuts. Raiders fans, you're allowed. I'm telling you right now, if a cop pulls you over or you get arrested, I'm giving you a get out of jail free card right now. You're allowed to right now take off your pants, run into the street, and helicopter your dick around in front of as many people as you want. Because we are now 4-0 in overtime, 10-win football team, going to the playoffs. We have every right to do that. You can take fireworks, shove them into your ass, shooting them into your neighbor's window, helicoptering your dick around, as long as you're wearing a Raiders hat, get a jail-free card. Like, you are allowed to rub it in everybody's face. You're allowed to be as excited as you want. You're allowed to be as obnoxious as you want. You can stay up as loud as you want, banging tin cans, doing whatever you want. Like, this was that special of a night. Enjoy it your way.
Didn't Rory say that he was going to run around his block naked if we won?
I think no. It was if not one. Was it the tie? I think it was the tie. He would have to do that.
No, I don't think he said that.
Is Daniel Carlson getting a statue in Pittsburgh or Las Vegas first?
He's getting a bust somewhere. Let's see.
I hope his face is in a bust. I hope there's a strip. All this money was like a Steelers fan's. Like, Daniel Carlson, come into this bust. You've earned it. You know when there's like a fight of the year on like the first UFC card of the year, and you're like, wow, you're not gonna be able to beat that. That was essentially this game, right? Like, if we go by calendar year, like obviously it was the very last like regular season game of the year. But like, how's any game gonna beat that? Like, how's a playoff game gonna beat that? How's a Super Bowl gonna beat that? You can't beat that. Heated rivalry, everything on the line. Justin Herbert doing everything he could to will this shit franchise into the playoffs. The tie looming in the background.
God, I hate the Chargers. I'm so happy. I don't know whether I'm happier that we knocked the Chargers out of the playoffs or that we made the playoffs. Because I'm petty like that. I'm super petty like that. I hate that. I hate the Chargers. Aware. I hate the Chargers so much. I hate them so much. Text one of my best friends since we were 13 years old. I text him and I said, that's what you get for not wanting to be a real motherfucker and rooting for the Chargers. That's what you get. And then he texts me back, good luck in Cincinnati, go Rams. And I'm like, you front runner piece of shit. I need new friends.
You do, starting with me. Here's a look at the schedule. So it's going to be Raiders and Bengals, very first game of playoff, which is kind of nice, right? You like being the very first game, so you get more time to rest. Like, I'd hate to be the Monday night game and then like turn around and do like a Saturday or Sunday game. Selfishly, this sucks because I got to work Saturday, so I got to figure out something. Maybe doing the post show with Rory. So we got the Bengals, and then it'll be New England versus Bills. Other AFC games are Pittsburgh versus Chiefs. Chiefs should just completely dominate them. So it looks like New England Bills, I think, is the biggest shot for an up, like, of the other two AFC games. I think that's the good shot for an upset right there. New England's got a lot of momentum. Bills don't.
I don't know, man. I think the last time that they played, the Bills showed that they were the better team. The first game seemed to be a little bit of a fluke. You know, that's the game that New England, like, threw the ball twice the entire game.
And I think the Bills cleaned up that run D the second time around and were able to handle them pretty easily. So I don't give a shit about any of that, honestly. We're going to the playoffs. And that's all
I do. I'm looking like I'm not looking past the Bengals, but I'm looking beyond the Bengals as well. Like the Bengals are in my eyesight, but you know how it's like kind of blurry. Like when you focus on something and what's behind, it's kind of blurry. That's what I'm looking at. My focus is on the Bengals, but in the horizon, you know what I mean? Like the Bengals would be like, if I'm wave, you know how, like when you wave at somebody and it's behind somebody else and the person in front thinks you're waving at them, wave at you back. That's kind of what I'm doing. Like I'm waving at the Bengals, but I can also see what's going on back there a little bit as well, too. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Whether it's
not me.
Bills or Pats, I am.
Nope.
I'm looking
squarely at the squire at the Bengals. Nothing else.
I'm so stoked to get a rematch and try to beat the Bengals. Because that's how we got in the playoffs, right? Got revenge on the Chargers to get into the playoffs, get revenge on the Bengals to stay in advance in the playoffs. That's what we got to do.
We got revenge against the Colts for just embarrassing us last year.
Yep. Revenge against the Chargers.
Show the Broncos that they're the donkeys.
Yep. Just let, not revenge, but letting the Broncos know where they stand. Trash. Vic Fangio gone.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have a great defensive coordinator. As long as they just don't have a quarterback, we'll just keep bitching him around.
What happened with Vic?
No problem.
The other Vic. What happened to the tweet that he had last night?
Which Vic?
Bassignori, remember? He said that he was...
Vincent Bassignori. Yeah, he's... Yeah. Pay attention to big news this morning that never came. I don't know.
Clickbait.
Yep. Freaking pay attention to nothing.
Thanks, Vincent. Thanks a lot for nothing.
How about Rich? Let's really consider, like, not just the adrenaline pumping through my veins and the fact that I've been erect for 7 hours. But let's like legitimately look at Rich Pisacci as coach of the year. Took over you never take over teams that are in the playoff hunt and winning records, right? Interim mm-hmm. coaches come in for franchises that are kaput. You come in because the coach is fired because they suck. He took over a team that was 5-2. Yeah. He took over a team that was like, was it 3-2? 3-2? After 5 games, right? 3-2. 3-2. Got him to 5-2, right? There was a team that was like genuinely looking to go to the playoffs, make a statement.
Then got him to 6-7.
Got him to 6-7 and then got him and then went on a 4-game win streak and got us to 10-7, right? Overcame all those things. And there's been a like all the pregame stuff was about all the things about the Raiders pregame was Derek Carr and, you know, how he was able to handle all this controversy. I was able to will this team to victory. I was able to, you know, just be a great leader when all this stuff happened, blah, 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 which is all great and all true. But Rich Pisacci kind of got forgotten about all this. Like, he was the perfect guy to just be calm, let the players be them, let the coaches be them, bring out the best in what they're doing. Instead of just like cleaning house, right? He didn't just take the chessboard and just wipe it clean and then put them where he wanted. He's like, you guys, I'm not gonna make this ocean liner do a U-turn, right? We can't. That's not the wise way to go. He's not power hungry. He doesn't have an ego. He didn't want the team to be his. Like, that wasn't important to him. Just being calm. Inspire everybody. Keep things going in the right direction. It's beautiful. It's exactly what this team needed. And now 10-7 in a franchise that hasn't been to the playoffs in half a decade with one of the most amazing late season surges we've seen in a long time.
It's a conversation for another time. After our season's over, after we win the Super Bowl, we'll talk about it. But for right now, Bisaccia did a good job. He was able to take advantage. There's a lot of questionable calls that we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. That it just seems like, despite some of these issues that we're having, we're still able to win games. We cleaned up a couple. We cleaned up a big one in the turnover margin.
Bisaccia's 4-0 on going for it on fourth down. He's in a 4-run streak. The last 4 times they went for it on fourth down, they've gotten it.
And he's 2-for-2 on fake punts.
He used to be like the most conservative coach in football for like the first few games, like kicking field goals every single time, like taking knees, run plays on third and longs. Like, he used to be super conservative. And I don't know if he's like looked at analytics or like got comfortable being head coach. Like, instead of playing it super safe, he was okay with being aggressive. He's like, all right, if I make a mistake and the egg's on my face, so be it. I want to do what I think is going to win the game. I don't care if I get the, you know, if I get the credit or I get the blame. He evolved at that point. How about that draw call to Jalen Richard on, was it 3rd and 23?
That was a great individual effort by Richard, man. That was a great effort by him.
When you rewatch that, when you rewatch that play, they do the draw. Andre James, the center, is going forward. Jalen Richard lists to his left to bait the safety to go with them, which gave Andre James the angle. Does that make sense? Like, he's going left, so the safety's coming left, and then when he cut back to the right, he put himself in between James and the safety, and that was just enough to give him, like, big push, like just enough momentum to get that first down. What a great play call. What a great design. What a great run.
That's that punt return experience that he has, setting up blocks, setting up a defenders to get into blocks. And, man, there's so many heroes of this game, so many big plays that made on both sides. It's crazy, man. It was a crazy game. I can't believe that we won. I was just so nervous about this game, but you know, despite our best efforts, we actually won the game. I'm dumbfounded right now.
It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day for Raider Nation. Are we supposed to just like go to bed now? Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, are we supposed to just like go to work tomorrow? Like nothing happened. Am I supposed to just like lay down and fall asleep and get my 8 hours?
Dude, I'm going to sit on the couch and watch some of this post game stuff. And I'm telling you, once I calm down, like the adrenaline dump's going to hit in and I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight.
I'm doing a dry January. So I'm not planning on drinking. I don't know how I'm going to fall asleep. I'm just going to be sitting around just like reading Raider stuff till 4 in the morning and be a zombie.
Find a way to fall asleep.
Oh, a little another type of medicine.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Cough medicine.
Playoffs. You want to talk about playoffs? Hell yeah. DC, let's go. Raiders. D got to get a stop on fourth down. We in the playoff, man. Boys, via
boys.
Mo Dizzle. Boys.
Mo Dizzle, you are absolutely right. We'll talk about all that on Wednesday. Trust me, there's a lot to talk about. The issue is now is handling that success. There are no surprises in the playoffs now. Everyone's in there because they've won a lot of games, especially in the AFC. You had to win double-digit games to get in, and we're one of the best. We're the best team not to win their division, and I'm telling you right now, it's not something that's going to go unnoticed by other teams.
DC, manageable type game, right? Did what he needed to do type game. Didn't go crazy, under 200 yards, no interceptions, no fumbles, which was big. Moving around the pocket really well, really, really well. He did give up 3 sacks. I think 2 of those, it was like he had no shot. Like 2 of those, he had no chance. Like he was just going to get mauled over no matter what. Protected the ball. Not even really a lot of dangerous passes, really. 1 or 2, but not a lot of dangerous passes.
That last pass to Zay Jones, that thing was off the wrong hash.
Yep.
Smallest little window you can think of. Put it right in there. Zay Jones had nothing to do with catch it. Excellent throw.
I think Derek Carr's X-Men power is drawing pass interferences. It's uncanny. It's unbelievable how he's able to just see, like, all right, that safety's super handsy on Zay right now. I'm just going to throw it off my back foot, falling down, one eye closed. Flag, spot a foul, flag. That's a gift. I genuinely wonder if that's something that he practices or drills, like looking to see if a guy is getting like molested and just throwing there right away, like as he's running for his life.
DC, do not cut your hair. Do not cut your beard. You got that big, huge poof hair going.
Don't cut those beautiful eyelashes.
Don't get a haircut all the way through the end of the Super Bowl when we win. It's that's where your superpowers lie.
So hypothetical, get crazy with me, all right? Go into Fantasyland. Grab my hand. Let's walk around Candyland for a minute here. What's the best possible scenario for the playoffs to pan out for you? Like if you can pick how the playoffs go, what would it be? We beat Cincy, obviously.
Okay, yeah. Right? Let me take a look at this shit. Let me take a look at these standings.
So we crush Cincy. And so we'll be 5 taking on most likely the Bills, right? The three.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We go to the Bills. Or
you know what?
Or if New England upsets them, then we'd be what? No. We take on
New England. New
England's gonna be the sixth seed.
Correct.
They recede. It's not a bracket. They recede. Mm. So we would go to the Chiefs. Maybe that's even better. Maybe we have New England beats the Bills. So we go to Arrowhead, beat the Chiefs.
How about this? Okay. New England finds a way to beat Tennessee in the second round.
Okay.
So then we have a home game.
Okay.
Against New England.
Home game against, there we go.
And then we take it home. So now we're going to play in two of our homes. We're going to play in Vegas for the championship game, and then we're going to play in LA for the Super Bowl.
Boom, boom. And then who do you want to play in the Super Bowl? Bucks? Get revenge?
Yes.
Revenge from last Super Bowl?
Definitely.
Writes itself, right? Mm-hmm. It was in San Diego when they played in the Super Bowl 20 years ago. It'll be in LA. We've moved. Tom Brady again.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to do it, baby.
Hey, man, what I say, I said, look, it's not over yet. We just got to win all of our games, and we're in. And we did. So why not ask? If someone's like, hey, you know, like a cousin of mine, right, he has access to like a lot of sporting event tickets. And he asked me one year, how many tickets do you have? I got tickets for this game. How many do you want? And I'm just like, I could easily say two, right? And okay, I'll get two.
You're like, let me 30. Say,
no, I said, let me get six. And he's like, okay, you got six. I'm like, who? I mean, I there's five other people that I wanted to go with me.
Soto's out like, front scalping the other four, just like cashing.
No, wouldn't do that. I took my chick and I took my sister and her dude, and I took a couple other friends.
I'm just so genuinely happy for this fan base and for all of you guys, for everyone that's been on this Autumn Windbag ride with us. I mean, we started this almost exactly a year ago. Like, I just got charged. Like, I knew that because I just got charged by Podbean for hosting our podcast for another year. It's like, oh, wow. It was like a year and 2 weeks ago that we started this journey. And it's been wild, man. Like, watching like the down that we've been through, the craziness of the offseason, the craziness of everything with, again, Gruden, Ruggs, Damon, Carl Nassib, losses, the wins, this win streak, and just all you guys like joining us for this ride. Like, it means so much. Like, we're all part of this Raider family. We're all here for the same reason. And the fact that you guys want to take this ride with us, that's something we take very seriously. And this is something that's like, I can't, like, it means so much to me that 160 of you want to share this moment with us.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
It's awesome.
It's amazing. Dude, RJ's got like fucking 10 jobs. I have two other jobs and I have, you know, another
hand
business
that I'm trying to get up. Those are your other two. Yeah.
This fucking guy.
Everyone who follows us, everyone who likes this, everyone who subscribes, everyone who chats with us, the super chats, we appreciate it so much. That's how we're able to keep doing this.
This shit ain't cheap, y'all. This shit ain't cheap. This equipment. I didn't have any of this equipment beforehand. RJ didn't have any of that equipment. All this hosting, all this shit ain't cheap, man. And we appreciate every single like, every single subscribe. When you tell somebody about us, that's how you can help out. You don't have to super chat us. You don't have to, you know, do any of that stuff and give us money you don't have to do that. All you got to do is just like, subscribe, hit your notification buttons, and just tell your friends, tell your family, hey, these two guys are Raider fans. They're pretty chill. They're just regular dudes. And just show support, man. That's how you can support us. That's how you can keep this going for Raider Nation. Everybody out there, we appreciate you, man. Just if you don't have the means to super chat, if you don't have the means to do any of that stuff, like and subscribe and tell one person and have them tell somebody. Just spread it along. We'll spread that way.
The Autumn Windbags got started because you, me, and Rory have been on the same Raider text chain for 7 years now. And we said, you know what? I want to share this with other Raider fans. I want to, like, instead of me just like whipping out my phone and showing other Raider fans the shit that we say to each other, the dumbass dick and fart jokes and the analysis that we have. Like, I want to share this with other Raider fans. I just want other Raider fans to experience these wins and losses in these seasons the way that we do with us. And that's what this is. So Abby, you guys are along with us for the ride. The best is starting to, the best has yet to come.
Like, where are you guys? Parts, where are you?
Yeah.
The guys fun at home. We're like you.
The fun part is beginning now. Thank you, Edgar Bonilla. We really appreciate it. Bonilla. We've been through a lot.
Bonilla. What the hell?
Bonilla?
Bonilla. Bonilla.
Vanilla?
This fucking guy.
I was thinking
who Bobby
like
Bonilla is.
The vanilla wafers. Edgar Vanilla Bonilla.
Edgar Bonilla. Edgar, we appreciate you, man. Just keep it going, bro. Keep it going. Tell all your Raider friends. Anyone you see on the street, hey man, you listen to the Autumn Windbags. Just spread the word, man. Because we do it. We the more money that we can bring in, we're gonna put it into doing more things for you guys, getting better guests, better production, doing more things, doing more shows. We're not here to get rich off. We're not some freaking Instagram chick trying to get rich off of this thing. We're just trying to put better.
Soto's got an OnlyFans for that. That's his job. This is the passion project.
It's all about that eye contact slow jerk. The eye contact is the key.
What did I text you today, Soto? My goal 1 year from now. For the playoffs next year.
Our own studio.
I'm going to build our own studio. We're going to do a live. I'm not going to just do it in my office, right? With like all my my clothes and like random Raider shit just in the back. Like, we're going to build a Raider studio 1 year from now for the playoffs next year. We will do the shows live in the same actual studio together. Like, crank this up a notch. Give you guys the production that you deserve.
Have the game there on the screen, watching it. Even do a watch along. If you want to do watch alongs, I think that was an idea that I had earlier this year.
You guys are going to be coming to the studio with us. Like, we're going to have fans in there with, like, all you guys are going to be able to come if you want to, if you're in town. That's what we're trying to do. We just build the community. And it feels great when we're starting to build this thing and the Raiders deliver the way that they do. Like, it just injects so much energy into everything that's going on. Again, thank you guys so much. Like, comment, subscribe. Do whatever you can to support us if you can. If not, just watch and enjoy the show.
Just tell somebody. You see somebody with a Raider shirt on or a Raider hat or something, just say, hey, man, let's subscribe to the Autumn Windbag, man. I'm telling you, it'll go a long way.
So, obviously, we are in full DEFCON 1 this week when it comes to content. We'll have our, obviously, big regular Wednesday show. We'll get an awesome guest for the playoffs. I say we do a show tomorrow. We should do a show tomorrow. And just, like, there's so much more to get to. Like, we've been on for an hour. I still have notes of, like, 30 more things I want to get to. Yeah. Just keep along. You'll know when we do it. If you just subscribe, put on the notification to let you know when it's on. We have a podcast as well. If you like listening in podcast form, just search. It's on everything. Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, whatever. Go there as well.
OnlyFans.
A lot of great stuff coming up. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. It's all on the Autumn Windbags, all that good stuff. This is a great night, Soto. I'm glad I got to share with you. Got to share with all you guys. Enjoy this night. Do whatever you want to do tonight that makes you happy.
Hug your kids, disagree, but we all want the same thing, man.
Pound your girlfriend,
kiss and your wife if you got it like that.
Have your girlfriend and your wife kiss each other. Like, whatever, film it, send it to us.
Yes,
whatever
please.
You're into. We need
evidence of that.
TheAutumnWindbags@gmail.com. Very easy to send it to us. All right, we will see you guys very shortly. Great, fantastic night. Raiders 35, Chargers 32 in overtime. One for the ages. Till next time, knock on wood if you're with me.